Great, another political talk show. Just what America needs. It's time for something different. I figure if you're listening to me, you are obviously a person of very high intellect.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger. With your host, Kathy Wynn.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Don't Shoot the Messenger here on Jackalope Radio. You can find us on www.jackaloperadio.com. So here we are. Another hour of hopefully some dialogue that you might find interesting. And I'm going to start off with a story that I'm not sure, I'm not sure there's any other topic that could be discussed this week politically than the shootings in Arizona. And I know probably everybody is a little sick of hearing about it and maybe a little tired of the subject, but I think it's a very important subject and one that I'm definitely going to cover today. So the past few days, there have been accusations flying back and forth between the right and left wing pundits and media commentators. The left is claiming that right wing rhetoric played a role in this shooting. The right, of course, is denying any responsibility at all. Usually in situations like this, I find that the truth lies somewhere in the middle, where it usually does. It was interesting to me that so many of Jared Loughner, the shooter's friends and family, have come forward and said that they knew he was deeply disturbed and they were worried that something like this might happen. Well, it turns out that there's a law in Arizona that any citizen can request a psychological evaluation be done on someone they believe is a danger to themselves or a threat to others. I can just hear the libertarians right now, ready to take to the streets, decrying a law that allows the government to come in and say, we are going to do a psychological evaluation and find out if you are a threat to yourself or a threat to other innocent people. The thing is, the person required to undergo this evaluation has the right first to a hearing. If they can't afford a lawyer, one is provided. There will always be laws like this that are abused by some people. A crazy ex-spouse will call the other one crazy and turn them in for a psych evaluation. However, that person who is being called crazy by their ex-spouse does have the right to a hearing. And even if they can't afford a lawyer, one will be provided to them. I think this is a good law, but I know that there are those who are going to say it's the big bad government coming in and deciding who in society is crazy and who is not. But I just wonder about those people that, as in the case of Jared Loughner, everybody knows he's crazy. His friends have said he's crazy. His family has said he's crazy. The community college he went to and had five conflicts that were on record, they say he's crazy. So isn't there a point at which to protect innocent people from someone who's psychotic, it's justified for one citizen to say, I think this citizen is crazy. I think they might go do something terrible. And I think they need to be, at the very least, evaluated. I think a law like this is just another example of how wrong the anti-government crowd, that is the people who say any government program, any government intervention in our private lives is wrong. This is just another example of how wrong they are. had the people around John Loughner, who knew he was troubled, gone to authorities and forced him to undergo evaluation, there are six people who might be alive today, including a 9-year-old child, and 19 others who would be going about their normal lives instead of being hooked up to machines in a hospital. And instead of sitting in a jail cell charged with multiple counts of murder, John Loughner might be getting treatment for his very obvious psychotic behavior. I am not the type of liberal who believes that government is the answer to everything. It's not. Sometimes it screws stuff up. And not all situations can be effectively addressed by legislation or law enforcement. But neither do we need to look at government as an evil socialist bureaucracy designed to deprive Americans of their liberty. Sometimes laws that put restrictions on our rights are good and work to the advantage of all of us, even if they are sometimes abused and misused by a small minority. I think virtually all of our rights come with some measure of responsibility. We have the right to buy guns. There's a certain number of people who will take that right and go out and buy a gun and shoot people. But we don't deprive people of the right to buy guns just because there are crazies that will go out and abuse it. Anyway, the other aspect to this story, of course, is the controversy over hate speech in talk radio and television. And obviously, the internet has been buzzing with conversations about that, as well as television. And I don't think there's really any way to talk about this story without talking about Sarah Palin. Sarah. What is left to say about this woman? To be honest, I don't even know why we're still paying attention to her. She's gone from parading her pregnant teenage daughter around, all while preaching about the effectiveness of abstinence, and hunting wolves by running them down from an airplane until they're exhausted, then shooting them, to now making really what amounts to a kind of a defensive statement based on this shooting in Arizona. She came out with an ad pretty much saying the evil liberal media and pundits are once again persecuting her. Personally, I think she should be thanking them for continuing to even find her worth covering anymore. She is the former vice presidential candidate of John McCain and governor of Alaska. Instead of finishing out her term, she resigned after only 2 years so she could move on to greener pastures and avoid the messy and multiple ethics charges that were pending against her at the time. There's a lot of speculation today about Sarah's use of the word blood libel, which apparently was a term used to describe an ancient Christian myth regarding the erroneous belief that Jews sacrificed Christian babies and used their blood in religious rituals. Of course, it was purely anti-Semitism that fueled belief in the non-existent Jewish custom. It was a term used to victimize Jews and characterize them as baby murderers. The thing is, I don't believe that any single word in speeches that Sarah gives isn't scrutinized and gone over in great detail. I just don't believe that any word or term in her speeches is an accident or carelessly used. The term blood libel suggests victimization based on falsehood. In other words, Sarah has cast herself as a victim in this tragedy that took the life of a 9-year-old child. She wants the media and pundits to stop persecuting her for practicing her First Amendment rights. Does this seem like the appropriate time to whine about your public image? Or to suggest that you yourself are a victim in a tragedy that killed 6 people and wounded 19, a number that includes a 9-year-old little girl? Actually, I could have respected her for just making a simple statement of condolence to the families and the community and left it there. But that was not enough for Ms. Palin, who took the opportunity to scold the press for their mistreatment of her. Seriously, 9 people are dead, and she's offended that people believe hate speech on Fox and in her own Tea Party rhetoric might have had something to do with it. I thought it was utterly appalling that she couldn't focus on what was really important instead of her own image. Had she kept her comments directed only to the shooting itself and to the victims and their families, she would have come off so much better. But now she sounds defensive and petty at a time when there are people grieving and suffering truly terrible loss. I also thought it was interesting that she hammered away on the idea of holding the shooter entirely responsible for his actions, even though almost nobody believes that this guy was sane in any way. If there was any doubt, his mugshot pretty much confirmed that this was a person who is deeply disturbed. It's really up to our legal system to decide if he actually had full awareness of what he was doing and whether or not he was able to distinguish wrong from right when he committed the shootings. But it's clear that whatever happens to this guy in the criminal justice system, the man is one slice of bologna short of a sandwich. I'm not in any way saying that he should get off on an insanity defense. And like I said, that's for the court to decide. But I do think the fact that he seems to be psychotic should be factored in when we're talking about holding him entirely accountable. There are crazy people everywhere. Violent people who are sparked to pick up a gun and randomly commit murders for all kinds of reasons. But it just happens that this particular crazy person chose politics as his venue to act out his psychosis. And it also happens that at any time of the day in this country, you can turn on talk radio or Fox News and hear the ranting of right-wing extremists spewing hatred towards our government and the Obama administration and Nancy Pelosi and anybody else they decide is part of the evil socialist takeover. This particular crazy guy who was teetering on the edge of sanity, and by the way, many, many friends and family members and even one of his college professors have come forward and confirmed that he was deeply disturbed and they believe dangerous. He had unlimited access to hate speech that fueled his own psychotic view of American government. And he had that access not through extremist, obscure blogs of radicals, but right on a major network and through the speeches of major Tea Party activists like Sarah Palin. I don't believe that the people who put messages of hate and bigotry out there are solely responsible for what happened. But don't you think they should take a good hard look at the way they deliver information to their viewers and listeners? Jared Loughner is not a sane person, whether he's found legally to be responsible for his actions or not. And if he's been out there all this time, listening and watching and planning and buying a gun, how many others are there? How about the man who hasn't been found, who is suspected of being in on the planning? Where is he? And who's he listening to on the radio today? I have a feeling it's not me. Let's just say that Loeffner is just crazy, and talk radio and television had nothing to do with it, which I don't believe, but for the sake of discussion, let's assume that. Wouldn't it still be a good idea for politicians and network news people to dial back the negativity, the harshness, the bitterness? Shouldn't we still try to engage each other in more respectful and productive ways? Does it really help us at a time when there are so many issues that are important to our safety, our economic future, our health, that the dialogue has become so hostile and each side so entrenched? And this is how the madness goes. Now Sarah Palin is the target of death threats and hostile emails and phone calls. I don't hold Sarah Palin entirely responsible for the angry rhetoric that has been spewing from the right wing since Obama's inauguration, and even before, really. The mouths that roar on Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, they've all gleefully taken part in condemning, lampooning, questioning the citizenship of, and deriding our president and the Democratic leadership since Obama's first day in office. They have tried desperately to paint the left as just as hostile, just as nasty, just as complicit in media hate speech as their own commentators. But the fact is, there is no left-wing equivalent to Rush and Glenn and Bill. And no, Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow are not the same, and MSNBC is not Fox News. Just this past year, two commentators were suspended from MSNBC for donating money to political causes. That's considered a serious infraction for any journalist. No legitimate news organization would tolerate that kind of just flagrant showing of bias. However, the Fox News crowd, including Rush, Glenn, and Bill, openly give money to numerous right-wing causes and candidates. So that is just one of the differences between a real organization and a fake one. You might remember the situation with Dan Rather, a well-respected journalist, a reporter for CBS who reported from the front lines of the Vietnam War and had a career that spanned decades. You know, he was a brilliant journalist, but he was found to have used a fake document in a story on Bush Jr.'s military career. He was fired from CBS, a man of this caliber whose career was solid. At Fox News, when they thought they'd caught a black woman in the Obama USDA discriminating against whites, they gleefully aired a video without checking its validity. Of course, it was found to have been doctored by a right-wing blogger, and it was completely bogus. Was anyone at Fox fired for airing a faked case of discrimination, which, by the way, resulted in an innocent woman being publicly shamed and losing her job? Nope. The people who made that decision to broadcast the video are still at Fox. Again, that's the difference between real news organizations and the ones that pretend to be. Since this story of the shooting hit the news, I've had conversations and Facebook exchanges with people from all over the political spectrum, and it strikes me as interesting that those on the right are really insistent that both sides are just as responsible, just as culpable in slinging mud and insults. There seems to be some kind of need to be fair in condemning hate speech and violent rhetoric and hostile characterizations. But I'd like to see someone show me the liberal politician who has crosshairs drawn over his or her opponent's districts. Or find me a commentator who routinely refers to a conservative politician as an imam. in order to stir up the anti-Muslim crowd. Rush Limbaugh does it to the president of our country all the time, with no shame whatsoever. I actually did a Google search to find a case of Keith Olbermann or Rachel Maddow consistently referring to a right-wing politician with the same kind of pejorative term. But the only thing I came up with was a comment by Keith during the Bush administration when he referred to a particular piece of legislation as Hitler-like. That's not very nice, I admit, but still, it's not the same thing as referring to the President of the United States daily as an imam. So in my search for evidence of left-wing acts of violence or hate speech, I found this. This is the insurrection timeline. And it's basically a list of acts of violence based on political issues that have been carried out over the last few years. On June 26, 2008, the case of District of Columbia versus Heller was decided by the Supreme Court in a 5-4 ruling. The opinion endorsed the National Rifle Association's individual right in interpretation of the Second Amendment. On July 27, 2008, Jim Atkison shot and killed two people at a progressive church in Knoxville. That was a Unitarian church. That happens to be the church I belong to. Going to commercial break right now, and we'll be right back.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Here's a poor fella who has no friends, so he thought he'd make some on the radio.
It can happen.
He's back on air this January.
Radio enthusiasts are going to hear us talking about this and say, don't do it. Don't do it.
Coming January 7th, 2011 on Jackalope Radio.
The Brad Westmar Show. We're still going to do it. We're still going to do it. We will. I promise. Whatever.
The Brad Westmar Show. Coming your way January 7th, 2011. Right here on Jackalope Radio.
There's so many poor children in China. You don't know how poor it is. You know, the whole family, they wear one pant. Mostly time, they stay home nude. You go to the city, you wear one pant. Father, mother, children, everybody just wear one pant. When they drawing, study, the pencil is that short, they still use. Yep. Like this. Every time when I go back to China to do some charity work, I'm crying like hell. I mean, I'm dreaming. So I'm, how can I help them? Then I realized education is very important, just like myself. They don't have education, so if they don't have education, when they're growing up, they're becoming a slave. They're becoming a, what? Before, I just donate money to build a school, but now I want to build my own school. It's called Dragon's Heart School. So last year, I built 17 schools. One school probably cost $100,000 US. Actually, for me, it's not that expensive for one school, but for 17, very, very expensive. Last 10 years, I built so many, all my friends, sometimes they just know I'm doing charity. They don't, oh, okay, you're doing charity, but now they know what happened, because the TV shows and also the result coming up, they really see the school. Last year, we just set up, build a school for $1. Wow, I received almost $100,000, $1 from around the world. Then I said, if you give me $1, I match your $1. And also, so many of my friends, I match too. That's so easy. You know, if each dollar have like $2-3, so quick. When they have education, first they can help his family, his parents. The only thing is a movie. After movie, I can travel to see the children, do a charity. I hear the story. I make me cry. Between make me cry, I can learn something. I don't need much, just $1. Help me for $1, and you will help a lot of children. Thank you.
Jackalope Radio is a proud supporter of Jackie Chan Charities. If you'd like to donate, go to jackaloperadio.com and click on the Jackie Chan Charities button.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger.
You're listening to Don't Shoot the Messenger with your host, Kathy Wynn.
And we're back. So when we left, I was reading a list of the sort of right-wing acts of violence and hate speech that have gone on for the last few years, and I know there have been transgressions by right-wing media as well, but I just don't believe that most of it has risen to the same level as what is going on the right. On June 10th, 2009, James W. von Braun, a convicted felon, walked into the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington and shot and killed a security guard. On June 24, 2009, Hal Turner, a New Jersey resident and a white supremacist, blogger, radio host, was arrested after calling for the murder of three Republican-appointed jurists on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. July 15, 2009, Catherine Cravill, a Republican candidate for the Virginia House of Delegates in the state's 99th District, made headlines by calling on Americans to resist the course President Obama has set for the country. And the list goes on. August 11th, 2009, William Kostrick filmed openly carrying a handgun outside of President Obama's health care reform town hall meeting in New Hampshire. August 17th, 2009, Chris Brofton openly carrying a handgun and an AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle to a healthcare rally in Phoenix, Arizona. So, you know, it strikes me that a large part of the distinction between left-wing and right-wing resistance, or you know, when either side has a gripe or has something to voice, the problem is the right seems to need to do it with guns. I don't think you find that on the left. In fact, I think if you really look at most left-wing politicians and people who consider themselves left of center, as I do, you'll find that they are really not big fans of guns. I know that back during the whole brouhaha over healthcare reform, when there were the town hall meetings, that as soon as I found out there were people stapling tea bags to their hats and strapping on semi-automatic weapons, I didn't want to go because those two things to me spelled dangerous and crazy. So that's one important distinction. I'm not sure why there is this very strong affection for guns on the right wing, but they seem to be, they seem to feel that guns are critical to our democracy and to individual freedoms, and I'm not sure why that is, because I go around every day feeling pretty free, and I don't need a gun to go about doing my daily business, and I don't feel threatened enough to strap one on. One of the sacred tenets of the anti-government gun crowd is they really cling to the right of Americans to form militias, and this issue has gone to the Supreme Court because the NRA and the gun lobbyists believe strongly that Americans need to retain the right to form militias and take up arms against a tyrannical and oppressive government. Well, here's the problem with that. Who gets to decide what a tyrannical and oppressive government is? Do you get to decide because you don't like having to pay property taxes or income taxes? Do you get to decide that you can go in and stage a bloody coup on our government? The government, many of whom I voted for, and though they may not be perfect, I certainly don't think they're tyrants, and I don't think they deserve to be overthrown in a bloody coup by right-wing militia groups. So I think this kind of anti-government hatred and animosity, it's frightening. And we've already seen when a psychotic person with a gun gets tanked up on it. They really start to believe that somehow guns and killing people is critical to preserving liberty in America. And I can't imagine anything farther from the truth. Because what's critical to democracy and our republic standing as it has for over 200 years is rational and reasonable people engaging in dialogue that really doesn't involve guns. When we turn guns on each other, like we did in the Civil War, it just doesn't work out very well. Lots of people get killed. There's grief, loss of property, and tragedy all around. So I really wonder when people use language like, we're going to take our country back, and when they seem to think that guns play a pivotal role in democracy, I don't understand how that really coincides with a government that is reasonable and rational, that depends on its citizens to be reasonable and rational and not use violence in order to advance their own agenda or think they're advancing their own agenda. The president gave what I thought was a very moving speech last night, in which he urged all of us to use care in how we communicate our political and ideological differences. And here's the saddest and most painful fact of this whole situation. We can't bring back a 9-year-old little girl who lost her life in Saturday's tragedy. A little girl who became interested in politics because she ran for student council at her elementary school. It's too sad. It's just too sad for words. We cannot bring her back, nor any of the other victims of this tragedy. But we can do, as the president suggested, we can try to take a little care in the way we address each other and express our point of view. Being a kinder person, thinking of someone else's feelings in our discourse with each other, it's pretty much always the best way to communicate, isn't it? And ultimately, if our conversation with each other is civil, won't that in itself lead to better communities, better cities, better government all around? We can't bring people back from the dead, but we can extend our best selves to each other in our conversations and in our interactions. I'm ending today's show with a quote that goes like this, and I'm sad that I don't know the author of this quote, but on the internet they didn't credit it to a particular author. But it goes like this: the language of reason, unaccompanied by kindness, will often fail of making an impression. It has no effect on the understanding because it touches not the heart. The language of kindness, unassociated with reason, will frequently be unable to persuade because, though it may gain upon the affections, it wants that which is necessary to convince the judgment. But let reason and kindness be united in a discourse, and seldom will even pride or prejudice find it easy to resist. Like I said, I don't know who to credit that quote with. I love it. So I want to go back just for a minute to what I was saying earlier when we were talking about Jared Loughner and his very obvious psychotic behavior, and how this was noticed by friends and family who realized that and who have come forward and said they really felt that this man would either hurt himself or hurt somebody, and none of them were surprised when he went out and shot a congresswoman and a 9-year-old child and many other people. Because I think that is so important, and it just really is interesting to me that there, again, is this way in Arizona and probably in many other states that people, if they see someone in their community, in their neighborhood, in their family, who's behavior is so erratic that they realize that, you know what, this person is dangerous. Or if you even know someone who has threatened suicide or made violent statements about what they would do to other people. Really, I think that is at least partly the lesson from this, that maybe we need to pay attention when we see people who are in such pain that they cannot help themselves alone, and in fact, they may harm themselves and harm others in acting out their psychosis. There's a quote from an article in the Kansas City Star today. Police say the shooter was in custody and was identified by the FBI as Jared Loughner, 22. He was described by friends as a pot-smoking loner who was rejected by the Army when he tried to enlist in 2008. He dropped out of a local community college after having 5 contacts with campus police for classroom and library disruptions last year. His motivation was not immediately known, but Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik described him as mentally unstable and possibly acting with an accomplice. So you have this young man whose behavior was so erratic and so outrageous that his friends and family all noticed it, and the college he was attending had 5 cases where he had interactions with the police for the way his behavior was. Yet nobody made use of a law that says you can require that someone undergo a psychiatric evaluation. That doesn't mean you can put someone in a mental institution just because you think they're crazy. What it means is you can bring to the attention of people who might be able to help someone like this, a person who is in need of that help. So again, I hope that as all of us go out and have conversations and discussions with people who differ with us on political issues or any other issues, that like the quote says, let reason and kindness be united in our discourse. And I think that's really important. In the coming weeks, I'll be announcing guest and program topics, so please check in at jackaloperadio.com for updates on the show. Thank you for listening. Remember, let reason and kindness be united in our discourse, and seldom will even pride or prejudice find it easy to resist. See you next Thursday. Thanks for listening.
There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. I peep out. There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. The cone is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Well, I say, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all look out there. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything going my way. Y'all come on now. Are standing like statues. The cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eyes. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning.
Shoot the Messenger with your host, Kathy Wynn, a Jackalope Radio production.
All the sounds of the earth are like music. The sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is as busy, it don't miss a tree. And a little old weeping willow is laughing at me. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all, I got a beautiful feeling. I got everything. I got everything. I got everything. Woo! Everything's going my way.
I'm sorry. But I got everything going my way, my way.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. I wanna thank you, little girl, for such a wonderful day.